The Tennis Gambling Podcast on the Sports Game Podcast Network is brought to you by Nordic Fantasy. Play their fantasy pick'em for a chance to 100 times your money in NBA, MLB, MMA, golf, NHL, and more. Sign up today at Nordic Fantasy using promo code SGPN to get a 100% deposit match. And welcome, everybody, to the Tennis Gambling Podcast here on the Sports Game Podcast Network. It is currently early Monday morning, roughly 1:30 a.m. Eastern Time. I'm Rose Owens, Scott Reichel, once again going solo for this pod. Should be a fun day because it is time to get into the actual third round of Madrid. Now, I am aware the third round did start on Sunday. Unfortunately, though, I was a little bit too busy to actually have an episode. So instead, we're going to cover day two of the third round. Then we'll resume the usual schedule with an episode on Monday night for the round of 16. Before we get into any of the actual recap of the previous round, as well as the actual preview for the upcoming matches, do want to remind everybody once again to like and subscribe on YouTube. Also, want to remind everybody to rate and review the podcast on Spotify or Apple. So no matter how you end up consuming the podcast, you can support the show, and hopefully you end up doing so by taking a couple seconds to either like and subscribe or rating and reviewing. Also, a reminder that we have some merch on the SGPN merch store. We have Tennis Gambling Podcast shirts, mugs, couple of different high quality overall ways to support the show by just buying something on the merch store. And I recommend you doing so. I have a couple of the shirts, very comfortable. Recommend you getting yourself one. Different colors. We have the regular logo. We have a black and white shirt as well. So different options. Check out the SGPN merch store instead of just taking my word for it. Also, a reminder that we have a bunch of other great podcasts for the network that also have their own merchandise. And right now it is playoff time in both the NBA and the NHL. So make sure to tune in all week to the NBA and the NHL gambling podcast for episodes to get you locked in for exciting playoff action. Plus, it is Derby Week on the Sports Game Podcast, so tune in as the guys get you ready for the most exciting 2 minutes in sports. Okay, time to start off with the actual recap of the last episode. Overall, decent episode. For the leans, I think we did okay. For the lock and dog, ended up splitting. Ended up winning the lock, though. We had a parlay. We had Alcaraz to win in straight sets, and we also had Kachanov moneyline, and that two-pick paid at a minus 106. Alcaraz absolutely dominated. Shevchenko never stood a chance. I believe Shevchenko held one time in the entire match, so Alcaraz destroyed him. I think he won 6-1, 6-2, I think, but the point is he dominated. And Kachanov had a war, but he ended up beating Agut in three sets, so a nice winner there. Did lose the dog, though, with Medvedevich on the money line at plus 145. We got some crazy CLV on that, closing line value, because Medvedevich closed at minus 105, so he beat about a 50-cent line move, and it didn't matter as he lost in straight sets. Did have a couple of set points, though, in the first set, but unfortunately could not convert. Then he fell apart, got broken in back-to-back service games. The final game of the first set, or I should say the final service game of his for the first set and the opening service game of the second set, Laheshka never got broken, and Medvedevich did lose in straight sets. So a bit annoying there when you beat a line move that's pretty substantial in tennis, and it means nothing, but at least we did win the lock. Time to start off, though, with the actual recap of the previous round, so getting into the round of 64. Starting off with Friday, looking at the actual schedule, thought Cerundolo had some value as the dog against Morozin, and he did, as he won in straight sets. Seaboth Wild beat Musetti, thought that would go three, that did not. Paul beat Klein in three. We were wrong about the Rublev match. We were kind of going to dare Rublev to look sharp, and he did, as he beat Bagnus in straight sets. Ended up seeing Fekina beat Chang, which wasn't too surprising. Good win by Schapa, who ended up beating Echeverry in straight sets. Baez did end up beating Van Aanch in three. Hurkacz beat Draper in straight sets. Did not get that one right. Alcaraz, though, did kill Shevchenko 6-2, 6-1. So that worked out well. Dardari and Fritz had a long match. Ended up going to a breaker and a 6-4, but Fritz did win in straight sets. I believe Dardari, though, did cover the games in that one, which we did a lean to. Besides that, though, we thought the match of the day was going to be the Rune and Navone match, and it was. That match was incredible, and you ended up seeing Navone get the, I'd say, get off to a good start early. He had a chance to maybe close out the match there in the second set, could not do it. Navone is a very talented player, but he seems to struggle a bit mentally in big moments, and he came up a bit short there. Very fun match, though. Was as good as I thought it was going to be, and then some. But Rune did get the job done in three, which we had. Besides that, we thought that Zverev would potentially get the job done there against Chorich. We didn't really cover many matches for Friday, but he did end up winning that one in straight sets as well, which is good for us because we have an outright on Zverev to win the event. Moving on to Saturday, we had a couple of upsets. We had Tsitsipas losing to Montero in straight sets. I guess that's why he was plus 240 to win the quarter. Montero looked sharp, and Tsitsipas really struggled returning for most of the match, did a better job late, but he waited a bit too long to start getting aggressive with his returns because he was already down a set and a break at that point. So he had a couple of break point chances in the 4-5 game, and then Montero held those off and eventually held the actual game to win the match, one of his biggest wins of his entire career. Besides that, though, Sinner killed Sonego in straight sets. Sinner is so damn good. Kachin pulled off the upset against Tiafoe. Tiafoe's been abysmal, and now Tiafoe's actually going to try challenger events in order to gain some confidence. Probably the right move. He's been terrible since losing to Shelton in the U.S. Open last year. You know I'm not a fan of Tiafoe. I think he's a head case, and he's going to challenger events to see if he can figure it out. Kotov beat Thompson in three. Medvedev struggled against Arnaldi. We thought that was going to be a competitive match. Did like the over in that one that got there, as Medvedev did win in three. Nadal, though, we thought was actually quite live to beat Dimonauer, and he did. He ended up winning that one in straight sets. Dimonauer was fine, but Nadal looked sharp, and Nadal almost punted the entire breaker in the first set. He had a bunch of set points that eventually held, and he got the break early in the second set, held on to win 6-3. Great win for Nadal. Simply put, his quarter opened up, so maybe he can make some noise. I'm not picking him to win the event by any means, but good to see him pulling off an upset. Good for him. Moving on, Bublik ended up beating Baena in three sets as Bublik lost the first set 6-1 and then came back and won the next two sets 6-2, 6-2. Baena got really pissed in the final service game that he intentionally launched a couple of serves at Bublik without actually trying to hit the balls in play. Of course, Bublik dodged him, but it was pretty scummy behavior by Baena in general. Either way, though, Bublik did get the job done. Mensik, though, pulled off the upset against Dimitrov as he won in three sets. Good win for the youngster. Kashanov beat Agut in three. Felix beat Mannarino. Thought that was going to happen. Mannarino's really not that great of a clay player. Caboli, we thought was alive to beat Jarry, and we did like the over in that match that got there as Caboli did win in three. Shelton killed Mokic, though. Did not see that coming. I thought that Mokic was actually alive to win it, and he got buried as Shelton won 6-0, 6-2. Fonseca's run came to an end. Norrie beat him in straight sets, and Kecmanovic ended up losing to Ruud in straight sets. Moving on to the actual slate for Sunday, getting into day one of the round of 32. Rune ended up getting upset, losing to Griekspoor in three in the first match of the day. Struff won, though. The defending runner-up actually has a rematch against Alcaraz coming up, but ended up beating Umber in straight sets. Rublev beat Fekina. Fekina invents ways to lose breakers to Rublev. I don't even know how he does it anymore. He was up 5-0. 5-0 in the first set breaker, and he lost. He had four set points, and he completely punted them all. Embarrassing. You might remember when he blew all those match points against Rublev. I think it was last year in a breaker. Now he's up 5-0, and he chokes that too. Embarrassing stuff by Fekina. One of the biggest head cases on tour. And that was another abysmal showing there in the breaker with in terms of mental toughness. Ended up losing 7-6, 6-4. Hurkacz beat Altmaier in a competitive straight set win, 6-4, 7-6. Alcaraz looked really good, beating Seabolt Wild, 6-3, 6-3. Looked like it was potentially going to be a bagel in the second set. Then Alcaraz struggled to close it out. Did so eventually, winning in straight sets. Fritz beat Baez in straight sets. Fritz owns Baez, simply put. They have faced off, I believe it's four times in the head-to-head, and Fritz has never lost a set. In fact, he's never lost more than four games in a set. He faced off five times. First time on clay, and Baez gets his ass kicked by Fritz every time. So, yeah, same story again. Cerundolo beat Paul in three. That was expected. I thought that was going to go three in general. I know I didn't do an episode for the actual match, but Paul and Cerundolo always go to three sets. You'll get the head-to-head, and nothing changed as Cerundolo came back from a set down. And Zverev did beat Chapo in straight sets. Good match. Fun match, a solid showing by Chapo in general in this event. He has started to regain some form that he's had in previous years, but Zverev's too good on clay, and he did beat him in straight sets. That's going to do it for the actual recap. Now it's time to get into the actual preview for the final day of the round of 32, taking place on Monday. So we're going to cover, I think we're going to cover every match on the actual card, since I ended up being unable to cover the first day, might as well be, end up covering all these matches for you. Starting off with the first match at 5 a.m., you have Shelton taking on Bublik. Shelton, decent favorite, about minus 266. Bublik's around plus 221. For the actual game spread, Shelton -3.5 is minus 105. Bublik +3.5 is minus 115. Over-under set at 23. Slight juice of the under there. Shelton to win in straight sets is minus 105. Bublik to win a set is minus 125. Managed to go to three sets is plus 140. Now, Bublik looked pretty, I'd say, inconsistent against Baena, which was expected because we know Bublik never actually cares about clay. But he was awful in the first set, then he turned it around. So Bublik, we know, has been a guy to be a bit of a slow starter, and he seems to wake up as the match progresses. But the point is, I do think Shelton is a pretty underrated clay player. Seems like he's kind of figured it out. Won a title in Houston. Looked very good against Mokic, and I think that he's the better clay player here. I'll take Shelton. I think it's going to be a close match, so maybe if you want to go for Shelton first set, I don't mind that. Maybe if you want to go for potentially Shelton in straight sets, a bit of a bolder play. If you want to back Bublik just based on the historical trends with what he's done the last couple of matches, you might want to consider taking over 2.5 sets. But Shelton, I think, will get off to a good start. Give me Shelton first set. I think Bublik will take a nap, then maybe wake up, and you might get a competitive second or maybe even third set in that one. Moving on to the next matchup, you have Korda against Medvedev. Medvedev had a hard time against Arnaldi, but Arnaldi's a good clay player. Medvedev is a favorite, not a big favorite, though, at minus 187, while Korda is plus 162. For the actual game spread, Medvedev -2.5 and Korda +2.5. Over-under in games is 22.5. Set wagering, Medvedev in straight sets is plus 145. Quarter to win a set is minus 175. Over 2.5 sets is a plus 135. Now, Medvedev didn't look great on clay in the first matchup he had here, but Korda looked fine. Didn't exactly play a great opponent, though. Beat Purcell in the first match here, which is not that impressive. We know Purcell is more of a hardcore player, and he's not exactly known for being good on clay, but straight set win nonetheless. Reason why the line's so cheap is because of the head-to-head. That's actually tied 2-2. Faced off earlier this year in Indian Wells, Medvedev did win, but he ended up winning in three. So Korda has really done some damage. Korda's won at least one set in all four head-to-head meetings against Medvedev, so the history's close, and I do think that Korda can maybe keep this match extremely competitive. Am I going to pick him to win? It's tough to always pick Korda. It's tough to pick Korda to win because I hate the guy. I think that he's an extreme head case as well, who I just can't trust. I think he's a serious choker. But I think he's good enough to actually win a set against Medvedev here, which is why he's minus 175. So I actually like the over to win a set. So I actually like the over in this one. I see a bit of a battle, kind of like that Arnaldi match. Give me a three-setter, which I think Medvedev eventually wins just by outlasting Korda into the third set. Moving on to the next match, you have a matchup between Montero and Laheshka. Laheshka is a favorite, minus 165. Montero's plus 145. Laheshka -2.5 games. Montero +2.5 games. Over-under set of 23 for games. Laheshka in straight sets is plus 150. Montero to win a set is minus 180. Over 2.5 sets is a plus 150. Now, Laheshka's been dominant in the head-to-head. He is 2-0. But they have never faced off on clay. Actually, no, I take that back. They did face off on clay. Faced off in Kitzbühel in 2022, and Laheshka won 7-6, 6-4. Faced off in Auckland last year on hard court, and Laheshka won in straight sets 6-3, 7-5. Montero, though, just beat Tsitsipas, and he went through qualifying, so he has been in solid form. Laheshka played his first match in about a month, which is why we faded him, and he was incredible. Just simply put, the serve was great, and Medvedev wasn't bad by any means. He had a bit of a mental breakdown at the end of the first set in the early second set stages, but the point is Laheshka, I thought, looked very good in general. I thought the serve was solid. Montero, not a great server. He's going to try to outlast Laheshka. I think Laheshka is going to win. The question is, do I think that Montero can win a set here? Plus 150, I'm kind of tempted by. I just think it's a very good deal. I think you're looking at what should be a pretty interesting battle styles here, where Montero kind of wants to rally a lot. Laheshka's got a lot of firepower, and I think he's got underrated net skills. I think Laheshka can shorten the points, especially if the serve's landing, because his first serve was great. I can't, once again, overstate how good his serve was against Medvedev. He did not get broken. In fact, he did not face a break point in, I believe, any of the service games that he had besides one, where he had two break points that he had to fight off. But I think Laheshka's going to win. I think the value is potentially on Laheshka -1.5 sets and the over 2.5 sets. If you think that there's no chance Montero wins in straight sets, and I think that Laheshka probably does win at least one set, then you automatically get profit because it's plus 150 on straight sets and over 2.5 sets. So maybe if you want to go for some type of, I don't want to say hedge or arbitrage spot, but if you think the Laheshka does not get killed, then you basically win money automatically. So just keep that in mind. But once again, that could in theory go south if Montero kills him. I don't see that happening. So I think I'm going to lean to Laheshka in straight sets, but it might be competitive, might be a bit dicey, but I do think Laheshka's the better player, and I think he ends up getting the job done here at minus 165. Moving on to the next matchup, you have the closest match on the board in terms of odds. You have Felix taking on Mensik, and Felix is a slight favorite, about minus 125. Mensik is plus 105. Game spread, minus 1 for Felix, plus 1 for Mensik. Over 2.5 sets is plus 130. Over for games is 23. The overall set wagering, it's a pretty good price for straight sets for either guy. Plus 220 for Mensik and plus 220 for Felix. Simply put, give me Mensik money line. I think Mensik is a very solid player who's still somehow underrated despite making the final in Doha. He did lose to Kashanov, but the point is he is a solid player. And he looked good on clay so far. Ended up beating Hanfman in straight sets, beat Dimitrov in three. Dimitrov's been great this year, so that's a good win. And Felix has looked pretty good here. Hasn't really faced anybody, though. Ended up beating Nishioka and beat Manarino. So pretty weak competition in comparison to Mensik. I think that win over Dimitrov tells me that Mensik is in great form. I'll back him. I think he's got a good value here at plus 105. Worst case, coin flip match. Give me the plus money. I don't mind the over 2.5 sets, though, at plus 130. I see a marathon taking place. Moving on, you have Nadal, who is still alive, taking on Katchen, as he is a pretty big favorite, minus 450. Katchen's plus 360. For the actual game spread, Nadal minus 4.5 games is minus 125. Katchen plus 4.5 is plus 105. Over-under for games is 21. Over 2.5 sets is plus 175. Nadal to win in straight sets is minus 145. Katchen to win a set is plus 115. Now, Katchen was in terrible form for several months. He had lost about 15 straight matches. Then he started to regain his form a bit as he ended up winning the first two matches here. Beat Offner to snap that streak, then beat Tiafoe in three. Similar story to Felix, though. He hasn't really beaten anybody in good form. Beat Offner has been terrible this year, and Tiafoe's been a mess. As for Nadal, beat Blanche, a relative unknown, but still won 6-1, 6-0, so a good win there, just based on margin. But he beat Demonauer. Got revenge, ended up beating Caboli in Barcelona. Nadal might not be able to physically handle these long tournament runs, but in the first couple rounds you might be in decent shape because there is an off day, at least one, in between matches for the first couple days. So Nadal did have a full day of rest to prepare for this matchup, so physically I think Nadal should be fine. I'll take Nadal in straight sets. I think Katchen is a guy that is in line for a pretty rude awakening here, that even though he's won two straight matches and Nadal is going to showcase his clay prowess, it might be competitive for a set, but I think eventually Nadal's going to wear him down. Katchen can be prone to making some unforced errors, both physically and mentally. Give me Nadal to get the job done in that one in straight sets. I see somebody asking me, Ryder on Twitter. What's up, Ryder? Thanks for stopping by. I was asking me about Shelton. I already previewed that matchup. I'm going to go back to it later, though. Spoiler for the lock and dog. But I did mention Shelton potentially being in a good spot to get off to a good start. I like him in the first set for this matchup. I think that Bublik is a guy who starts off slow, maybe wakes up. But Shelton's been very good on clay. There might be value on Shelton. If you think that Bublik's going to roll over and you think that Shelton's serve is going to translate well, I think Shelton straight sets might have some value at around even money at around minus 105. Anyway, getting back into the actual matches, once again, Nadal, I'll take to win in straight sets at minus 145. Moving on, you have Ruud taking on Norrie, which is a rematch of that Australian Open match, which Norrie ended up winning, actually, in four sets. Fun match, but Ruud really struggled to convert break points, and Norrie did a good job of actually serving and volleying to keep Ruud off balance. As for the actual matchup here, Ruud has been very good, as he's won 12 straight sets, won the entire Barcelona without dropping a set, then beat Kecmanovic comfortably. As for Norrie, beat Fonseca in straight sets, ended up losing to Echeverry in two tiebreakers in Barcelona. Looked okay, not great. Got pretty lucky that Mayotte ended up having to retire in the beginning stages of the third set in the first round of Barcelona. I like Norrie to potentially struggle in this matchup. Give me Ruud to win in straight sets. minus 110. I like the deal there. I think that he's in great form. We finally are starting to see the return, we'll use that word instead, of Rude, solid clay form. And I just think that when he's on, he's better than Norrie by a decent margin on clay. So give me Rude to win in straight sets at minus 110. Moving on to the next matchup, you have Kachanov against Kaboli. Should be a fun one. A decent favorite, though, is Kachanov's minus 245. Kaboli is plus 205. As of the spread, Kachanov -3.5 games and Kaboli +3.5. The over-under set at 22. The over 2.5 sets is plus 145. Kachanov in straight sets is minus 105. Kaboli to win a set is minus 125. For this one, I see a competitive matchup here. Give me the over. I think that both guys have a lot of firepower. I think you might see a baseline war between these two. Kachanov's the better player, but he did struggle against Agut as he won in three sets. And you know my thoughts on Agut. I think he's past his prime. Kaboli, though, has beaten two solid servers, two Chileans, ended up beating Tabilo and Jari in three sets. So he's going to three sets in each of the first two matches here. And Kachanov did go to three sets in his only match here against Agut. So I like the over 2.5 sets. I see a close match here. I think Kachanov probably outlasts him just based on consistency. I like the value, though, at plus 145. For Kachanov and Kaboli to go over 2.5 sets. Besides that, though, last match, you have Sinner taking on Kotov. To be honest, not going to spend much time on it. Sinner is a massive favorite. He's -6.5 games. He's -5,000. Kotov is a player that is pretty underrated on clay, but Sinner's the best player in the world. He's just killing people out here. Kotov ended up beating Ramos Vinolas, and he beat Thompson in three. Sinner killed Sonego. Won the first, I think it was seven games in that match. But either way, the point is the only angle for Kotov would be the games. If you think that he actually keeps it somewhat close, I probably don't. I just think Sinner is an absolute machine. There's no value on the match, though. Like, I'm not going to take an under 18 games. I'm not going to do that. 6.5, I get why it's so big. I'm not going to bet it. Simply put, there's no value on it for me. So that's going to wrap it up for the actual preview of the second day of the Madrid round of 32 matches. Now it's time for the lock and dog picks. But before we continue that, do you want to take a quick word from our sponsors? We are brought to you by Underdog Fantasy. The NBA playoffs are here, and our sponsor, Underdog Fantasy, wants to make it a lot more interesting. Underdog Fantasy is the easiest place to play fantasy sports. Playing their pick'em game is as simple as selecting higher or lower on player stats like points, rebounds, assists, and so much more. Make entries of all basketball or mix and match across your favorite sports. You go into 100 times your money, and it's a ton of fun. Underdog also is available in 30-plus states, including California, Texas, and even Canada. And they also have great tennis options. They have breaks of serve. They have aces. They have double faults. A lot of fun, unique angles to make tennis more interesting. So I recommend you going to Underdog for your tennis needs. Plus, a reminder that they have very solid promos coming up because they have a lot of them. They have bonus cash airdrops. They have specials. They have giveaways and more throughout the NBA playoffs. So make sure to follow at Underdog Picks on Twitter to keep an eye out. Underdog's available in 30-plus states, including California, Texas, and Canada. They've also launched Champions, their player versus player format in Florida. So make sure to sign up with the code SGPN, and Underdog will double your first deposit of $100. It's Underdog Fantasy, promo code SGPN. Welcome back, everyone, to the Tennis Gambling Podcast. Just finished previewing the second day of the round of 32 matches in Madrid. Now it's time for the actual lock and dog picks. Starting off with the lock, I am going to go back to the Shelton and Bublik match. Give me Shelton first set -1.5 games at minus 125. Seems obscure, but I think it's definitely warranted based on how good Shelton's been recently in the beginning of matches. He's covered this spread in three of his last four matches, including the first match here in Madrid, where he beat Mokic with a bagel 6-0. So he was in great form, won a title in Houston, and I do think that he is undervalued on clay, especially early in this match. He's a massive favorite, but Bublik has been known to be a very slow starter. He has been all year long, but if you want to go through the last couple of matches, Bublik has lost the first set in each of his last four matches. Bublik really doesn't care much for the first set. He kind of tries to make the matches unorthodox, tries to turn into a marathon, and I do think Bublik will once again start off very slow. Shelton's got a great serve. He's become more patient in the rallies, still a work in progress, but a lot better than it was last year in this aspect. I think Shelton eventually finds a break, and I think he'll end up holding throughout the first set. So give me Shelton, first set, -1.5 games as my lock at -125. For my dog, I am going to go back to that Korda and Medvedev match. Give me the over 2.5 sets at +135. The head-to-head's competitive. It is tied 2-2. Faced off earlier this year on hard court, and Medvedev actually made the final in that one before losing to Alcaraz again. And yet, Korda won a set. In fact, that's pretty standard because Korda's won at least one set in all four head-to-head meetings. So with that being the case, I do think that each player will have moments here. Both guys are not exactly great on clay by any means, so I do think you're looking at a spot where each guy can have moments of success and failure, and you might see some balancing out there. But simply put, when the head-to-heads are this competitive, I have a hard time of ignoring the value of history to repeat itself, the over 2.5 sets here at +135. So that will be my dog. So once again, my picks for the show for the Monday round of 32 matches. My lock's going to be on Shelton. First set, -1.5 games, -125. My dog will be on Korda and Medvedev over 2.5 sets at +135. That's going to wrap it up for this episode. A reminder for the next episode, we'll be back for either Monday night or Tuesday morning, early Tuesday morning, for the round of 16. So no days off here. We're going to go back right into it for the round of 16. Until next time, though, find me on Twitter, at Rice Show Radio. Mentioned it before, but we have a couple of other great shows focusing on the playoffs right now. I'm on one of them. I'm on the NBA show. On top of that, we have the MLB show, which I'm on. We also have the WNBA show, which we'll be starting up again in a couple of weeks. Until next time, though, good luck to all of you and all of your bets. Bye, everyone.